to live righteously.
It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. It's episode number 289, wherein we talk with Melanie Stone and my brother Stuart Edge, and we talk about the film Little Women.
Thank you for being here, Melanie Stone.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Now, you were saying before I turned the microphone on, you've never done anything like this?
Never? Well, I mean, I've done like podcasts with friends, but I've never been in a studio like this to just record my voice.
Yeah, we've got the soundproof on the wall. This is a legit thing.
This is very legit.
Right up until I put my feet up on the desk.
You know what?
And then it's like,
it makes me feel at ease. It's like, okay, this is casual.
Yeah, we're just getting to know each other, getting to know what's going on.
Yeah.
The film Little Women has been done a bunch of times, but not like this, and I will say this. I'm not being paid to say this, and I am a critical person of films of this nature, but it was really good.
Oh, good.
Really good.
Oh, that makes me so happy
I enjoyed it and have already recommended it to people, where if it was a thing where it's like, well, this episode is brought to you by Little Women, I'd be like, you know what would be a great idea for you to do? Turn the microphone off. Don't go see this movie. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how I would be. It really is well done.
Oh yeah, I'm that makes me so happy to hear you say that.
It's an interesting tale. Tell people, if they are unfamiliar completely with Little Women, sort of the premise of it.
Yes, so Little Women, it's originally a book, and like you said, it's been done a bunch of times. You know, it's, I think, five other films have been made about
it.
At the very least. And it's about four sisters and their relationships with each other. It's this coming-of-age story.
Right.
And in the book, it takes place during the Civil War.
Right.
But we have modernized it, and it's the first time it's ever been modernized, so at least we got that.
Yeah, well, and it's good, because I've seen a couple of the other versions, and I was like, I am so bored! this is so terrible to me. Why did we do this? Why was this? We had a budget. Why did we decide this was the thing? In this case, I'm like, okay, I get it. I can see how this is an accessible story to a lot of people.
Yeah.
But also really, like, everyone, right? Like, there's a little bit of everyone within each of the women's stories.
Totally. Mm. And it's so nice to hear a guy say that he enjoyed watching it. Because right now, I think we've really been pushing towards the female audience.
Right.
Which, I mean, yes, ladies, come and see this film.
Right.
But I have heard a couple men say that they really enjoyed it, which is so cool to hear that.
Right.
That it's not just for the ladies. You know, there's something there for the men, too. You know, we're not trying to exclude anyone. So
right.
It's,
well, I mean, you put women in the title, and all of a sudden, most of us dudes just go, it says women.
Yeah, yeah.
Tag out.
Yeah.
Guys, you know how the ladies are always like, oh, come on, can't we do something a little? Do this, because it's not painful and terrible, and you'll be great, I love it.
Oh, good. Oh, that just makes me so darn thrilled.
Yeah. Now, the writer director has helped out with some other like LDS films, right? She and her husband, I know, was involved in
Saratov Approach,
and then the Beehive one.
Once I was a Beehive. Yes. Yeah. Claire is amazing. I'll just say that first and foremost. And she's also an actress. So I mean, she's in Once I Was a Beehive, but this was her first film that she directed, and she just killed it.
Knocks it out of the park.
Yeah, like, she was so great to work with and cared so much. And I think that was, you know, that type of energy hit all of us. So we also, like, just put our heart and soul into it. And so, I hope that shows.
Well, I think with such directed by a woman and then a story of four sisters, I mean,
yeah.
It just seems like a natural fit. She's not here. I don't want to talk any more about her.
Okay,
I want to talk about you.
Okay.
tell me, who are you? What are we doing? What's your life? Who are you?
That is a question.
Yeah.
Well, just a general. I'll give you just like the general.
Please.
Right?
And then I'll pick up pieces and go, tell me more about that, please.
Absolutely.
And at some point, you may hear my brother Stuart Edge as part of this episode, but Stuart's late.
Yes. Okay, hang on. Are you guys really related?
We look like it, huh?
Well,
because of the red hair.
Yeah, you know, I didn't want to say that.
That's all right. We both know.
Right.
We both know we have red hair. No, but whenever I see him anywhere, we'll always get our picture taken, and I will only call him my brother. Have you met my brother? And I'll point over, and they'll be like, Stuart Edge is your brother? I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
You bet.
Oh, goodness. Well, okay. About me.
Yes, back to you.
So, I was born and raised in Modesto, California.
Okay. That's where, northern. I know where it is.
Yes.
Up by Stockton.
Yes. George Lucas was born there.
Well,
that's his hometown.
Are you familiar with Brother Lucas, or are you just from his hometown?
You know, I don't know him personally.
Yeah. We'll
but
get him.
Yeah. So, born and raised there, I come from a family of 9 siblings,
oh,
including
my
myself. I am smack dab in the middle. I'm the 5th child.
So, is it a big Mormon family?
Yes,
okay.
A big Mormon family.
Okay.
And I'm...
All the same, like, first letter is all from...
No. We didn't do that.
Any weird Book of Mormon names in the family? Like,
you know,
a Matthias
what?
Or a
no,
Nephi?
No, I mean, there's a Jacob.
Okay. Yeah.
But that's, you know...
That passes.
Yeah. That's not just Mormon.
No, yeah.
But, oh, there's Emma. There's an Emma.
Okay.
So,
I mean, and Jacob and Emma. Okay.
Yeah. And then I went to college, BYU, Idaho.
Okay. Was it Rick's then? Or
it
are you,
was,
you young enough to be BYU, Idaho?
I am young enough to be BYU, Idaho.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And then I kind of just... So I always loved acting. You know, it's kind of that standard answer of
sure.
like, oh, I did it growing up. And it's yeah. true, I did.
We used to put on plays
yeah.
for family home evening.
But really, we did.
Yeah.
But we did, you know. And I've just always loved storytelling. I've just had this deep love for stories, especially like fantasy and sci-fi. And so I did a lot of theater. And then I joined this improv troupe out here in Utah. It was just... starting,
okay.
which is why they let me in, because they had no experience
yeah.
with improv.
They're like, you don't know, and we don't either. Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, let's do this. Let's improvise.
What
and
were they called?
We were called, well, we started out as Improv Friends.
Sure.
And then we changed to the Cinematics.
Sure.
And we did just long-form improv.
Sure.
We didn't do games and stuff.
Right,
it was
right,
just
right.
It was just...
It's the scene. It's the structure. It is character-driven.
Right.
Sure.
Exactly.
Sure.
Which I loved.
I always love, by the way, improv names like the Wackadamia Nuts. you know, all these terrible, they're like ska bands in the way that they're like, we're going to take a normal word
yeah.
and we're going to change it. So it's Mission Improbable.
And it's
right?
like, whoa, yeah. check that out. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So Cinematics is not bad for,
yeah, yeah.
for an improv group.
And we did that just because it was all long form. So mm-hmm. it was all these like 30-minute stories that we would improvise.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it and it was wonderful. And then I just kind of like, I started falling into like little gigs. I'll call them gigs
mm-hmm.
because, you know, a friend would be like.
Because that's what we do in the wait for it biz.
Yeah. And so, you know, a friend would be like, oh, we're shooting a commercial. Like, come and we just need somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, I'll do it. In fact, at BYU, you might see my face. And I'll still get texts to this day from friends who like send me a picture of me. It's in boxing gloves
uh-huh.
and it's Miss Punch. It's like for their, like the people who work there,
uh-huh.
it's supposed to remind them to like, don't forget to like punch in. And if you like miss punch, Melanie will punch you. Like it was,
okay.
it was
violent. But,
it's very violent.
Yeah.
So they should change that. So, oh, is this Stuart?
Stuart, my brother's
Stuart
here. Come on,
has
sit down, brother.
Joined us. Hello.
We were just finding out about Miss Punch. We'll catch you up here in a
yeah,
second.
Yeah, we'll catch you up. It was my first paid commercial gig.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so is it a picture or it's a video
of me like just like throwing punches and whatnot
okay.
and reminding people to, you know, don't forget.
To punch in. Or she'll hit you.
Yeah.
Awfully domestic violence.
Yeah,
driven.
Yeah. Not good.
No.
We don't.
Okay.
But okay. If you remember to punch in, then I guess
yeah.
we did our job.
So then we obviously get to this. There's films along the way. I did sort of an IMDb search
yes.
for you.
Yes. Yeah. Did a lot of fantasy, this series called Mythica. And
Is that a Netflix series or what is it?
No. So it is 5 separate films.
Okay.
And it was all made like independently. They
okay.
like kickstarted all of them.
Okay.
And it's on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
But it's basically like a D&D campaign.
Okay.
You know?
That's Dungeons and Dragons.
Dungeons and Dragons, yes, which is so much fun. I can't recommend D&D enough.
These nerdy guys are like, wait a minute, attractive woman who likes Dungeons and Dragons? I didn't think this were possible.
It is possible. But yeah, so Mythica did that. It was a lot of fun, a lot of hard work.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, a few other films, some Christmas films and some horror films, and then Little Women. And
by far the biggest role in Little Women, or is this Mythica, by far the biggest film maybe? Or how does it fit in? Talk to me about that.
Yes, so this has been, I mean, it's being released in 600 theaters. Mm-hmm. So I'd say, yeah, it's done the most. Well, I shouldn't say this yet. I don't want to jinx anything.
Oh, no,
but
it will.
But yeah. So it's looks like it's going to do well because it has this theatrical release. And so it's the first theatrical release I've had.
That's awesome.
Everything else has been, you know, straight to TV or streaming services and whatnot. But
let's check up with Stuart Edge, who's now here in the studio with us. Now, Stuart, you fear of being seen on screen, but this is your first like film, correct?
I was an extra in Saturday's Warrior.
Okay, so this is your first film. I mean, no. But yeah, you're part of this. I remember as I'm watching the movie, spoiler for you since you walked in a little bit later.
No worries.
I loved it.
Thank you.
But it was fun. It was fun to see you in like this adoring, handsome, friendly gentleman kind of role. It was fun to just have you be actor Stuart instead of wacky zany or doing a thing. It's just like, no, he's
actor Stuart. Yeah,
it's actor Stuart.
It's actor.
Thank you. Yeah,
you're welcome.
Yeah, I had so much fun being a part of this. It took me a moment to like shift out of that into what would be a actor role,
right?
Because so much of the time that I've been on camera, it's me going, hey, what's up, ba ba ba, and like, yo, I'm Stuart Edge. Thankfully, I think because of the I hadn't had much training prior to this in acting, and so I think my naivety,
yeah, break, drop it,
yeah, the naiveness of myself kind of helped. Mm-hmm. With that, because I didn't really know what I was doing, so I was so overwhelmed that kind of like suffocated any sort of ego that might have been there with the
Claire's
Stuart
like,
Edge role.
Stuart, I'm gonna need you to be less
Stuart-y yeah,
and more just like, you know,
an actor.
How would you act this?
But yeah, it was great. I had a great cast to feed off of and bounce off of, and learned so much, especially working with Mel Stone.
Aww.
Yeah, so that was really fun. She helped me out a lot. I would be able to just feed off of the vibes that were happening there. And then, obviously, you mentioned Claire. She's a fantastic director.
Sure.
Her husband, McLean, is a fantastic producer. Gave me a lot of great pointers. Since then, you know, I've been in acting classes, found elements that are the same with any sort of screen performance, whether it's YouTube or TV or
right,
or even like a live show. So yeah, it's been a journey.
That's cool.
Beyond, thanks.
What I also like about the film is that there isn't anyone that I'm like, oh crap, that person's back. Like, it always in these movies, right? It's like, oh, I'm so into it, and then it's like, hi, welcome to my office, and you're like, wait,
oh, no.
There wasn't another guy to play the principal,
right?
We couldn't find
an
actor to pay $100 to that could play that better than whoever this guy is.
Right.
Leah Thompson, isn't it?
Yes.
Which,
from Back to the Future, one of my favorite films. That's awesome too,
yeah.
and she's just great.
Oh yeah.
She doesn't outshine anyone, which when I heard that she was going to be in it, I was like, oh crap, is it going to be a bunch of people that aren't great and Leah Thompson? It's great.
Yeah. Yeah, she is so down to earth and such a team player and just very encouraging. Like, there was no ego about her.
Mm-hmm.
She was just there to work and
mm-hmm.
and, you know, she's just fantastic. She really is.
I don't know that I could have handled that being on set with her. I would have been like, "Hey, so did Michael J. Fox?" And I just like that would have been the conversation the whole time. So Back to the Future, she's like, "We're doing another movie right now."
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
I know. But really, so in the second one, when you come back,
yeah.
No, hey, we're filming
this. Yeah. Geek moment. She signed my pizza hydrator.
Oh, really?
So I did a video called Pizza Hydrator Prank, where I made a replica pizza hydrator
from Back to the Future. From 2, Back for to the Future who 2. Don't know, it's essentially like a microwave, but it rehydrates a pizza and makes it big.
So I made one and went to a soda shop, set up some hidden cameras. Mm-hmm. Had people like ask what this was, and I'd be like, I'd show them, I'd take a small, tiny little pizza, put it inside, you know, some noise would happen and open up, and a full pizza would be there. And I told her about this and brought the pizza hydrator to set on her last day, and she signed it for me.
Awesome.
And so she said, it says hydrate level 4. And then she signs.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it's like pretty cool.
Yeah. So you're sort of a nerd at heart. Did you know much about that? You seem like you're too young to be.
What? No, I have totally watched Back to the Future. I mean, I'm more fantasy driven. So I'm more like a Willow girl. Okay. And like, you
but
know.
But you're not that old. How old are
no,
you?
No, I'm 30.
Are you really?
Yes.
I would not have guessed. How old are you, Stuart?
29.
Okay.
Yeah, we play this room. 17-year-olds and 21-year-olds.
Right.
I'm like, there is no way that person is in high school.
Right.
I mean, I appreciate it, but it's like not high school. But I'll buy it. I'll turn that part of my brain off for this.
Right, yeah. Right. Ugh.
Yeah. Although I was looking back at some pictures of me on set, and I was like, holy cow, they made me look young.
Yeah.
Like, I was, you just like put the hair down. It's all a lot with the hair.
Yeah.
Give yourself a lot of makeup and give yourself some like clothes, and you can just like the certain type of clothes, kind of baggy.
Sure.
And you can really make yourself look, you know, 10 years younger or 10 years older.
Yeah.
Let's take a break for a second. We'll come back in the second block and talk more about the film Little Women. Hey, you guys, I want to talk to you about bestdjinutah.com. Why, that's the company that I have started for doing my DJing weddings and live events. Whatever you need, I am your guy to do it. So whether you're a lifer or a convert to this podcast show, or you just happen to be listening for the first time, if you are in need of a wedding DJ or an MC for your event, or just a DJ for your business opening, go to bestdjinutah.com. Now, I know it says Utah, but guess what? If you want me to come to your event and you're not in Utah, I'll do that too. You're going to have to pay for me to be there, but I'm more than willing to do that as well. It's bestdjinutah.com. Emails there, phone numbers there. Would love to hear from you and then help you make your event that much better. Look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for supporting the Cultural Hall podcast. But it's a show. You knew that.
Imagine running a small business today. It's challenging. Imaging and internet presence is an absolute must. Even with that, you're still a small star in a bright cyber universe. Now, imagine you have someone who understands how to get your site designed for your talents and then easily searched by potential clients. Imagine Lennon Design. Whether it's strictly a website or a whole package of logo creation, advertising media, and promotional materials, Lennon Design is your partner in business. They'll test the boundaries of their imagination to create something unique for you. When you need creative, affordable design, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Here in the second block of the Cultural Hall, talking with Melanie Stone and Stuart Edge. My brother, good to see you. Missed you
through
the family reunion, but Mom says hi.
Okay. For those of you that are not aware, because this is an audio-only
Oh, people know. People can hear it in our voices, don't you think?
Maybe.
Same tone and timbre. Stuart and I are brothers. Stuart, the more famous brother. I'm the older, living in the shadow of the younger. It's weird.
Supportive. You're there to...
Yeah, I'm always right there by his side. I always knew, growing up, I knew that Stuart would be who he was and that I would be who I am.
You know, I didn't see... Growing up, I didn't see this happening.
Well, I mean, there's such an age difference that I was basically out of the house by the time you started to hit your own. I mean, when Mom and Dad kicked me out at 10, and I had to go find my own place to live, I was able to do it, but only on the hope that...
I was surprised that you were so willingly just like... I didn't see it as like a kick out, but you just kind of like...
Well, I think they knew I was ready. It wasn't like, he's so rebellious. I was like, it's time. And they're like, you're only 10. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to need to leave.
Yeah.
But I knew leaving would allow the attention to go to you, which I knew that at that point you needed.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. You know, you left at a good time that I almost don't even remember you being around.
No, I know.
Yeah, so that was really
I know.
Good.
Yeah. We both have red hair. So
that's it.
Talk a little bit about each of your characters within the film. Let's tease that a little bit.
Yes. So I play Meg. She's the oldest sister. And in Little Women, they all, each of the sisters have this dream that, you know, that they have. And with Meg, her dream is to get married and have a family of her own. And in this day and age, that's kind of like, oh, really? Like, come on.
Right.
You know, get a different dream. But that really is what she wants. She wants to be a mom.
Right.
And so that is, I mean, that's Meg in a nutshell, you know. She's all about love, supporting her sisters and you know, finding that soulmate of hers.
Yeah. Spoiler, she finds it. Stuart, you talk about yours for a minute.
So, John Brooke, awkward, proper, an all-around good guy that is very intelligent. He tutors Lori Lawrence in basically everything. And I think... Yeah, just a very sweet-hearted guy, but just awkward.
Yeah.
And is, I think, wants the same things that Meg wants with family. And, you know, Meg comes from this, you could say, I mean, it's a very poor home, right? More poor than the Lawrences.
More like, gosh. Like lower middle class.
Yeah, lower middle. Like poor, like, where's the food coming from, Mom? But not like, cool, this fancy, this thing is.
But like, you know, they wear hand-me-downs.
Yeah.
But they, they're never lacking for food.
I just realized that I identified with lower middle class.
Oh. Same.
I guess you could say, like, Brooke kind of serves as this this kind of rock for the dream of Meg. You know, she wants the family, and Brooke's there. He's like, yo, I'm a solid guy, and boom. That's him.
There's the spoiler.
There is the spoiler. That's it.
Where was this filmed?
All around Utah.
Okay, so it is a Utah film?
It is a Utah film. There's one scene that they shot on the coast of California. There's a beach scene between Joe and Beth.
And so you guys didn't get to go?
We didn't get to go to the beach.
Dear the rest of the cast, loving California. Sorry you're stuck back in Utah, son.
Utah's beautiful.
It's a gorgeous, both the home and, you know, the exterior shots of all the different parts in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So gorgeous. And I always like the films that are filmed here in Utah. And people listening, when they either come to Utah or they live here in Utah, they'll go, hey, I know that house is in the Avenues. Is that right?
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hard to do as far as like physically challenging? Is it long days? Talk about sort of the process of it.
Well, I was going to say, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll start.
You go. Start.
One day that comes to mind was a day that I actually filmed, I documented this and put it on my YouTube channel so people can go back.
Where can people find that?
Just go to my YouTube channel, Stuart Edge, and then...
I was trying to set you up to promo.
YouTube.com/Stuart Edge.
There it is.
That's where it's at.
There it is.
But I documented this day, and it was a full day shooting. It started early in the morning, ended at night, and we did a funeral in the morning, and then we did prep for a wedding that night. And so it was just like this emotional journey, first of all, to have to experience something like a funeral and have to get in that mindset of being at a funeral, and then like just a few hours later be like, oh, we're at a wedding, everything's so happy and so exciting. There were huge set pieces, lots of extras that day, and that was just that day. It was one that I think of as one of my longest days, with so much happening, so much of an emotional journey happening as well.
Yeah, almost like a real funeral and like a real wedding.
Exactly.
And you think about those things just being exhausting in and of themselves.
Exactly.
Then combine them, and then combine hundreds of other people and having to be on and memorize stuff.
And I got to get married 7 times.
Yeah.
Like, but talk about that emotional. Yeah.
What about for you, Mom?
7 brides for 7 brothers. Different Gotcha.
Seven Brides for
One Brother.
Yes.
Seven Brides.
I think that's a Utah film, though, but it was from back in the 1800s, right?
Yeah.
Seven Brides for One Brother. But it's the same. I don't know. It's in one of the sections of the Doctrine and Covenants that got taken away.
Right. Yeah, so I feel like most indie films out here, I think this was a 15-day shoot.
Okay.
Wow.
And, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, producer and director. But that's kind of the standard out here for all indie projects made in Utah. It's about 15 days.
Just because time is money.
Time is money, yeah. And, you know, they have a certain amount of money for this, and it's usually a lot lower than what they're making movies for in Hollywood, and so then time becomes a thing, you know, and so it's just like the page count is up that you're shooting, and I don't really have any other experience except for that. So like that's what I've been doing ever since I started working. Is I've been like, I'm used to the like 14-16 hour day.
Jeez.
Like, that's just how it is out here.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty standard.
How does the call come for you to be in this film?
Oh, say that again.
How did it get to you?
Oh, yes, McClane called me.
Okay.
He called me.
You worked with McClane before?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. He was I think he was a producer on the Mythica series, and I just, you know, I had worked with Claire on another film, and so...
I'll tell you where I first met Claire in a minute, but keep going.
Okay. So I was actually in my writer's group when I got the call from McClane, and originally I had auditioned for Joe. In fact, I think most of us... I shouldn't be speaking for Allie, but I also think that she originally auditioned for Joe, and it's like... I feel like there's not a lot of Meg actresses out there, you know, like that are actually Megs personality wise, because they're out being, you know, awesome moms, you know.
Right.
So I originally auditioned for Joe and got a call back and everything. And so McClane called me and was just like, hey, okay, so this might be a little weird, but I want to offer you the part of Meg. And it's funny, but I actually had a feeling like from the beginning, even when I was getting callbacks for Joe, I was like, I bet they're going to offer me Meg.
Oh.
I just had a feeling about it. So I wasn't surprised at all. And I was like, yeah, let's do this. I'm so excited to play this part and to just be a part of this story. So, yeah. So he just gave me a call while
I
was with my friends.
Yeah, just with my writer's group.
And my writer's group. Let me flip my hair.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm just busy writing a script. Hang on.
Oh,
yes. Would you like me to perform your script? Sure.
Yes.
Certainly.
I can do that for you.
Matt Stewart, how does it work for you?
I met McClane a while ago promoting a movie he did called Once I Was a Beehive. He needed some promotional help for the Logan Theater in Cache Valley.
So like an influencer thing, like, hey, you know what, you got a lot of people online, would you be willing to help us out, kind of thing? Okay.
Yeah, and so that's how I connected with him first. And he's just like, let's do something someday. I was like, cool. So we connected on Facebook, and I think it was like a year or 2 years later that I saw something he had shared where he said that he was doing an open casting for Little Women.
Oh, cool.
And I auditioned the same way everyone else auditioned and got a call back and auditioned for Lori first. And
which that guy was great.
Yeah.
Well, I know. He was fantastic.
Yeah. Lucas. Yeah. Fantastic. And then just kind of got a call back and didn't hear back for a while. And I was like, huh. But then.
I guess not, huh?
Yeah. But then I got the final call back and said, yeah, we're going to cast you as Brooke.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this is cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I first met Claire. She came to my house to do costumes for me. I was in a film. This is a great story.
Okay.
I got cast in a film by a guy named Darren Tufts. He's done... he was like one of the original part of the Garans. He's been a guest here in the Cultural Hall before. And it was this like thriller film that was filmed at a prison, a formerly used prison down in Utah County. And I said, yeah, I'm on board. I totally can do it. They had like a month to shoot this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I have one conflict day in that month window, you know, so whatever you need, but there's this one conflict day. And so I went down and I filmed the first scene. Claire had come to my house and did costumes for me at the house.
Amazing.
That's like how sort of indie it was. I did the first scene at the house, was or at the prison, which is just me walking by the camera.
Yeah.
And then the day that I was supposed to do my scene, I used to be able to take my teeth out and they were going to gore my my face up and have me be like slaughtered was the conflict day. And I was like, oh, I can't do that. And they're like, well, we already. And I'm like, yeah, I can't do this. So I was cast in a film and I'm credited as guy who walks by camera in the credits.
Oh.
For so no words. Was going to be able to be a part of this really cool, like, gory film, but couldn't that day.
Oh, no.
And Claire was the one who did costumes for it.
Oh, man.
Wow.
And I remember going, McClane, good work. Claire is way better. No, I'm just joking. He'll appreciate that if he ever hears that. Let's take another break real quick, and I want to come back, and I want to talk about kind of what's going on future for you guys, and then and also kind of the promotional wheel that goes behind indie films with films like Little Women. So we'll come back and do that in the third block of the Cultural Hall. Hey, y'all. The Cultural Hall is brought to you by LDS Bookstore. You can go to ldsbookstore.com. Remember this. When you check out, use the promo code BACKROW. Make it one word, not the way I just said it, which was sounding like two words. Make it one word, back row, and you can save 10%. They have all sorts of things. You hear LDS Bookstore and you think, oh, it's a bookstore. Well, it is a bookstore and more. So many great things, whether you're sending a missionary off, whether your parents are going off on a mission, there's someone in your family getting baptized or receiving the priesthood. There are all sorts of great gifts that are available. And while you're there, why not pick up something for yourself? Because you're going to save 10%. Make sure that you use the promo code BACKROW, one word. See, I said it the right way that way. And that way they'll know how many people that listen to the Cultural Hall, whether you're a lifer or a convert, are going to LDSBookstore.com. And you can leave a little message that says, hey, Brandon, thanks for supporting the Cultural Hall. It's LDSBookstore.com.
Hey, this is Dan, the Laptop Man from PC Laptops. The 2019 PC Laptops SMT2 laptop has arrived just in time for back to school. It's crafted from high quality aluminum, powered by a super powerful Intel quad core processor. It's hand built right here in the USA in Salt Lake City, Utah. It's so powerful, it'll be your best friend helping you get through school or running your business. My goal was to find a laptop that performed like a $2,000 laptop for under $1,000. And I found it with a PC Laptops SMT2. I've got a limited batch right now for $999. That's right, $999. And it comes with a lifetime service guarantee. You don't have to call some 800 number in Chumbawamba. You'll get real human beings face-to-face to take care of you forever for free. So just get into any one of our locations right now and grab a lifetime warranty laptop for $999 while supplies last. Check us out at PCLaptops.com. PC Laptops, we love you.
Time for the third block of the Cultural Hall. It's Melanie Stone, Stuart Edge. Hey, bro.
Hey.
What's up?
There is such a promotional wheel that goes for these independent films. Longtime listeners of the Cultural Hall know that it is so important that this weekend of the 28th of September, that we get out and see the film, because opening weekend is the thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What part do you guys play in that? Especially you, Stuart, with kind of that online presence. But what are they having you guys do for all this?
I will start. We did a project for my YouTube channel, youtube.com/StuartEdge.
That's UART because he's
UART. We did a promotional video where we drove around in Los Angeles, just kind of interviewed. I kind of interviewed the cast, Bart Johnson, Mel Stone, Ali Jennings, and Sarah Davenport, who plays Joe, and uploaded. I'm going to upload it to my YouTube channel this week.
Just talking about the film, or just
yeah,
like,
just
hey,
talking about
LA.
The film. Like, we'll talk. Just talking about the film. It's these promotional stuff. I've been in this arena so much with people coming to me to promote things, and it's interesting because sometimes like. My point is with this video, with this movie, it's great because I feel it has strong legs already in and of itself, which is nice. You're not polishing a turd. One has strong legs already. It's going to be able to hold itself already. And so any promotions, anything like this, it's purely just to add a little bit of shine to it. And it's so nice. And it's great to be a part of something like that that is that way.
Yeah.
Where the weight's not on Stuart Edge, right?
Right.
Like, this movie's going to be great if
Yeah. No. It's good in and of itself.
Yeah.
For people that obviously don't get to see this, my favorite was when he said polishing a turd.
He kind of polished it. He polished that imaginary turd.
Did I really?
Oh. What an interesting choice of hand gestures. Yeah, because people will come to you and be like, hey, would you mind talking about it? And it... not this.
Make
but
this
other
great.
Things, and it's like, okay, what can I, because there's a little bit of leverage of who I am, and I have to be genuine. So what can I talk about that might be genuine, but not, you know.
It's nice to be a part of a project that has this strength already to it. It's nice.
It's like a rock or a stone. Melanie, what about for you? What are you doing to share this? Or what have they asked of you? Or do they even ask of you?
They
or are you doing it naturally?
They do. They're great about... they sent us an email and a Google Doc of like, okay, things you can post about. I mean, they've asked us to post about it on our social media accounts. And like Stuart was saying, it's not a burden. It's not like, oh no, I don't want to talk about this. It's like, no, like I was already going to talk about it, but thanks for giving me talking points.
Right.
You know, and so that's nice because it's like it's nice to see what they're going for, the direction they want to take. Mm-hmm. And, mostly it's just posting on our social media accounts.
TV stuff, any of that kind of thing? Being at the theater for openings and all that kind of stuff?
Right. Like, I know Sarah, who played Jo, she did a
TV thing.
But yeah, like a morning news, I think in Georgia?
Yeah.
So stuff like that. And we have like little spots we went and we filmed. We went and did promo stuff.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so we'll be like releasing little like bits of those as, just to get people out and go and see it. Cause I think that's just the biggest thing is like spreading the word that it's out. Cause I think people really will enjoy it. It's just making people aware that it's out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, it's, something that has helped me understand just from the, that this film has an edge, you could say. No.
Because we said stone.
Yeah. Bring it back.
Is how people refer to it. They go, oh my God, they're making a Little Women. When people refer to it as they, like this, this powerful thing that makes everything, you know, they are doing this, they say. And I've noticed people say that, like, oh, they're making a new movie. They're making a Little Women movie, as though collectively the universe has decided that it is going to make a modern adaptation.
Yeah.
And from that, again, it's nice that this has legs to stand, and I'm appreciative to be a part of that.
It's not a Latter-day Saint film, but there are little nods that I noticed within it. I think...
Are there?
I think that there are. There's a scene, a little snip that I think it's a CTR ring that someone is taking off.
Really?
Tell me, what part? It's very early on. It looks like she's taking a CTR ring right before. What's the girl that goes down the wrong path for a minute? What's her name?
Is it Meg?
Meg. It would be her.
Yeah.
When I'm going to wear my grandma's dress to prom and then I don't.
And then you don't.
And I didn't take off a ring, but.
But I swear. Go. Maybe it's
something.
You know
something
what?
That they maybe they added it. Maybe they added a CG.
Maybe, right? Like we're not. It's not on your finger, but there's a scene where it's like taking something off. Not like that looks like a CTR ring. The one critical thing that I will say about this film. There is a scene where I know you're in it, Stuart, because I knew I was going to give you a hard time about it. Uh-huh. But where you guys have the wine glasses and it's like cool, a bunch of non-drinkers with wine glass or champagne glasses, and I'm like, okay.
I think I was the only one on that table that like doesn't actually.
Yeah,
that's never really drank. So.
I mean, and Meg wasn't. She was pregnant. She was drinking water.
Right.
So,
but there was something about the scene with the glasses, and no, it was you and Lori were also. He was holding a glass as well. Maybe you're not seated, but I'm there is something about that. These are people that don't normally do this behavior. That's
And you know what, Brooke? You know what? Maybe Brooke probably doesn't. He probably, like, maybe on occasion, like, at Christmas dinner,
if
he, like, awkwardly, he's like, oh, I don't drink, but because we're all here with family, I'll toast a glass of wine.
Right?
I'll you know, explain that away for you,
yeah.
Stuart.
Thank you.
So then what's next for you guys? What are you doing, Stuart?
Let's see. What am I doing? It's a great question. In the realm of my career in general, I am still making videos.
Sure. The YouTube stuff.
Right now, Facebook is really big.
I've heard of that.
With posting
the
video. The Facebook.
Sure.
And I am also developing a live show that I do in theaters.
Cool.
And this is, I have to clarify, this is not movie theaters, but like actual...
like, see Stuart Edge live
at the
Eccles Theater in downtown Salt Lake.
He's exactly.
You do magic.
Magic, music, comedy. It's a full show. And then as far as acting, we'll see what happens. It would be nice to get some other projects.
You had a lot of
projects.
Fun with it?
Yeah, I did. It was really fun.
I'm going to blow your mind for a minute, and hopefully Melanie will get this joke. So if not, I'm going to look like an idiot. But study David Mamet and his theory of acting, and it won't be so hard on you to have 16-hour days of going to weddings and or...
Those were fun. I like
weddings
that,
and funerals, but I appreciate him where it's just like, man, pretend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't
just
have to
pretend.
Really feel it. I don't have to know it. Man, pretending what it's like. Perfect.
Yeah.
Mammoth. Great. And
yeah.
we're done.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I'm moving
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's it. I hope that something like that works out for you.
Thanks.
Because as I said, and I couldn't remember if you were in the room, there wasn't anyone within this film that I'm like, that guy? Oh, scenes with this guy or that girl. Strong cast from beginning to end.
Yeah.
Yes.
What about for you, Mel?
So I just wrapped a Lifetime Christmas movie.
Well,
it was a supporting
filmed here
role.
In Salt Lake?
Yes. Well, actually they filmed most of it, or my scenes anyway, were filmed in Payson.
Okay.
And then...
Before it burned down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I actually just booked another Hallmark Christmas movie, and it's a very fun role. I'm very excited for that. And then I'm in the works of like producing and
so we're
and
about
writing.
To lose you is what it sounds like to me, right?
You're about to lose me.
I mean, as far as Utah goes, we're about to
No.
Here's the thing.
I believe
don't
her,
you
actually.
Okay, listen. I love Utah.
Right.
And I like making stuff in Utah.
Right.
And I want to keep doing that.
Right.
And so when I start producing, and I mean, eventually, I would love to do what Claire has done. I would love to direct.
Right.
I would like to do that here in Utah.
Right.
I would.
But soon enough, you'll be like, well, the bigger pain.
No,
things.
Utah will always have a place.
Yeah.
It will always have a place
we'll
in my life.
Be her
well,
place.
Sure.
Yeah.
But you'll be living in Los Angeles.
Nope.
Because
no.
That's...
No.
Melanie, do
don't.
Like...
I'm not lying to you. Whoa. She just stood up stood on the table.
I am on the table. I'm not on the table.
I will back
I'm not.
Melanie.
I'm going to play this back in a year's time. When you
okay.
Go, when you roll
you
through
do
here
that.
And I'm like, how's your house in L.A.?
No.
And you'll be like, I thought I'd always stay
no.
in Utah.
You know what?
Hmm.
We'll see.
Okay.
We will see.
Bring it, sister.
I'll back Melanie. I think she is going to stay in Utah.
Okay.
Listen, we've had conversations.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if I'd stay in Utah, but I don't know if I
never
would.
Mind then.
No. Here's the thing. I don't know if I would.
She will always be in Utah. Actually, I'm not sure.
No.
Okay.
Sorry. Let me rephrase. I feel like I will always have a place in Utah.
Sure.
Oh.
But I don't think that I would make my home base in LA.
Right.
Is what I'm saying. You know.
Sure.
I might be in New Zealand.
Can we
or
talk
something.
Faith for a minute? Can we go
sure.
there?
Yeah, let's
you,
go
you
there.
You want to go there?
Let's go there.
So we've talked Stuart through these things because he's been a guest here on the Cultural Hall before.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to get these things with you.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned being raised in a Mormon family.
Yes.
9 kids.
Yes.
Are you still? Do you still do that thing?
I am not.
Okay.
But I... All my family is.
Sure.
And
so
I,
how is that? Are they like, oh, well, she'll come? Like,
you
is
know,
it that kind of thing?
They're so supportive. I mean, of course it's hard. It's very difficult because... Because
we Mormons like our family.
Yes.
And when someone's not, it's like...
Right. Right.
She...
Yeah. In your mind, it's like, oh, no, they're not going to be with me in the afterlife.
Right.
You know? But... And I think that's how it was in the beginning when I... And it was a long process of me... You know, walking away, but
hard.
Yeah, it was really tough because I think more than anything, I just didn't want to hurt my family. Like that's what took me so long, is that it was just like, because my family, they're wonderful people,
right?
You know, and I'm so.
There's a couple other questions I want to ask. Can we talk?
Of course, I'm an open book. I'm an open book.
Was it a particular thing, or just like, I don't want to do this anymore?
No, it was. I have a hard time with some of the church history, you know, polygamy and gay marriage and whatnot. And
you're like, this doesn't jive.
Yeah, and like women not being able to hold the priesthood. Okay. And like, and I've heard all of the reasons why.
Sure, so don't send your emails.
Yeah. I understand. I totally, you know, I understand.
See, people won't recognize this, but we're going to have a civil conversation about this.
Right,
rather than me just being like, well, you know what you need. Like, I'm just going to listen.
Right. And that is what I feel like my family has gotten really good at, mm-hmm. is like now I feel like we can have a really genuine conversation, mm-hmm. without it being like, well, I'm going to change your mind.
Right.
Well, I'm going to prove to you that it's not real.
You haven't read.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. It's not about that because, I mean, the church makes my family happy and mm-hmm. I want them to be happy.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like they're coming around a little bit. I feel like they see that I'm happy in the life that I have, but I know that my family loves me, and sure. I love my family.
Which is the most important thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, if someone decides that it's not their jam, don't be like, hey, we'll talk to you again when you decide to live your life the way we think you should lead it.
It's like, yeah, and like, you know, we've what's the word I'm looking for?
Strife, domestic violence.
None of that. But we've come to this, almost this understanding where it's like, when I go to visit, I've gotten to this place where, you know, it's like, you know, I won't go to church with them, but I'll still say a prayer over a meal,
sure.
and, you know, things like that.
Do they invite you? You know, you're welcome to
yeah,
come.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. My mom always does. She's like, no, you know, you can come. Yeah. And I don't think she'll ever stop doing that.
Sure.
And that's fine, you know. But
it's such an interesting thing because, you know, more and more it seems like people that I meet or have the chance to talk to here or otherwise, you know, whether it's themselves or someone that they know who has found themselves sort of in that situation,
mm-hmm.
It's fascinating to see how different families take it. You know, some where it's just like, well, they don't talk to me anymore because I couldn't fit. And others who were just like, it's not any different. And we respect each other as far as that goes. And I think that's the far better place to be than the ostracizing of like,
absolutely.
You know, Jesus taught me if you didn't think the same way, I'm just going to go ahead and not treat you at all. It's
and that's just it. Like, who did Jesus hang out with?
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like,
who?
He hung out with. I know. I was like, you're gonna make me list this or what, man? I think it's all about like, you know, getting having an open mind and having empathy for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean to bring this back to Little Women, but there is that in Little Women. Like, there's a lot of like, well, I like it this way. Like, there's this scene between Joe and Meg where, you know, Meg is like, I want to get married, and Joe is like, why? Why would you? We don't live in a time period where you have to rely on a guy.
Right.
Like, why are you doing that? And it's like, but that's what Meg wanted. Like, that's her dream. That's what makes her happy. So, and, you know, I won't tell you, you know, you have to see the movie to see how it all plays out.
You
know,
I'll tell you.
If Joe comes around. but you know, that's kind of how it is even with my family is like, just learning to be empathetic and recognizing like, okay, this makes them happy. Like, why would I want to take that away from them? Why would I want to bash what makes them happy? So
wait a minute, a healthy respect for another person?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I looked for that on Facebook. Stuart was bringing up Facebook earlier. There is not a healthy respect for someone else's choices.
I know.
Anywhere
it's,
to be found
right,
on that website.
Right. And it's like, if we could just sit down and talk. Like, let's just talk. Don't come in with, you know, your shield up and you know,
miss punch.
You don't want to miss punch. Exactly.
Full circle.
Yep.
Yes.
We did it. Okay. Anyway.
All right. Our time's over. You guys go see Little Women this weekend. I will ask this question. I won't ask you if you have a calling because you don't do the church thing. But I will ask this thing. We ask three questions typically. I'll only ask you one, because one is what's your calling, seconds what calling would you pick, but I mean you're not, so
right,
whatever.
Right.
I've already asked these of Stuart, but I'll ask these both of you guys right now. As far as your faith goes, what's your favorite part of your faith, however you interpret that? What would you say?
Do you have an answer, Stuart? I can let
my
you...
My faith?
Yeah. What's your favorite part of your faith right now?
So
I can't remember what you said last time. Do you remember?
I can't. Lately, my favorite part of my faith is my ability to trust, and which is what faith is, right?
Right.
It's just being able to trust. And that's... So being a full-time professional magician,
mm-hmm.
I have this interesting perspective being on a stage and seeing people's hesitancies and like, oh, because they think magicians are masters of distraction.
Yeah.
Right? I'm trying to make you feel dumb.
Mm-hmm.
But it's never my intention on a stage when I tell someone, look here, because I want them to look somewhere else. It's not because I want them to feel dumb. It's because I know if they're looking there, that's where they're going to find the most enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
And so rather than being a master of distraction, I would call myself a master of focus.
Yeah.
And so I've found other people in my life, in religious settings and in non-religious settings with mentors and other people. McLean, who produces, is one of those people where when they say do something, I just trust, you know, they've been where I'm trying to get, and I will listen and just kind of have faith and say do exactly what they say, because I know they've been where I have. And as I've seen myself trusting people, which for me that's big, because I grew up in a dysfunctional home.
Sure.
So to trust, that's a big thing for me. So that's what I like about my faith right now, is this ability to just trust what people say and follow it exactly how they say it.
I'm going to need you to trust me on something.
Yeah.
when you do a magic show here in Salt Lake, and
One recently.
Okay. And when you do again and you invite me and make sure that I know about it and get me there.
Okay.
I'm going to need you to play the final countdown at some point.
Okay.
That will kill. For
final
me.
Countdown.
Yeah. Yep. Europe's the final countdown.
Was there a reason for that?
Yes.
Okay.
You're unfamiliar? But do you know why?
Why?
With
no,
magicians?
I don't know. Oh, no, yes, I do know why. Because
Arrested Development.
Yes, there we go.
Okay.
A TV show?
Yes.
I have not.
Okay, so you it's bingeable. It's three seasons. There was a fourth season that was meh. But watch the original three seasons. Job is a magician, and he's terrible, and you will love him.
Yes.
Okay.
And the final countdown.
Yeah.
All right, so
Mel,
to you, what's your favorite part of your faith?
I think it's finally accepting that I don't need to know it all. Mm-hmm. I don't need to have all the answers right now. I just need to be the best person I can be and be a good and kind person and trust that it will work out.
Nice.
Yeah.
Are you married?
I am not married.
Are you working on it? That sounded like that.
I've had.
That was
well,
like,
it's funny because I've been with my boyfriend for almost 4 years, so
okay.
I forget.
So what's
that
his deal?
His deal.
Do we
is,
need to talk to him?
He's no. He's amazing.
Okay.
Yeah, he's amazing.
So is it you?
He's great.
It's me. It's
I met
it's
him
a
on set.
Yeah.
He wasn't. He didn't work. He wasn't in the movie, but he's a very.
But he was there making sure you weren't trying to edge in on.
No.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good one.
Not,
no,
not put
we
a
just
stone on the, the finger.
There we go.
I feel,
that was good. No, that was good.
I felt like I just reiterated
no,
a
like
joke.
It, you should have put a ring on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But
no. So really, what's the deal? Can we talk about it?
Yeah.
Is it you?
What?
Because I was married and it was and it was terrible.
Well,
and so when I think about doing it again, I'm like,
well, that's I've also been married.
Okay.
Right. And so we're both just very content where we are, you know? And I think also I have...
We call them issues. It's a respectful
there,
way
thank
to
you.
Say
Yeah, 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 yeah. When it comes to the institution of marriage, I think I have... there's some things I need to work out
right,
in
right,
my head.
Right.
But he is wonderful. He's also an actor. He... I'm going to plug his show. He's got a show right now on the CW channel called The Outpost that he is a lead in. And he's so gosh darn good.
Mm-hmm.
But he's wonderful. He's wonderful.
What
guy.
About for you, Stuart? We talked about that before. Anything breaking through there?
Marriage?
Yeah, because last time we talked, I think you alluded to, well, I mean, maybe. There's a thing, maybe. And I know you get asked about it all the time, so it would not be the cultural hall if I didn't put it in an awkward situation where I was like, so have you considered doing this?
Have you thought about it?
I have, more than anything.
Closer than before?
Yes, actually, much more. And this kind of going along with what I was saying about focus, I met with some mentors, and they were like, you know, you're doing very well on this path of your career, but like, they're just like, you know, what I've seen in my life, like, find someone and like, kind of bring them along.
Okay.
You're going to get far down the road.
Sure.
Don't rush into something, but like, and that was some good counsel for me, because it like, had I not gotten that little shake, I probably would have just like, continued to go down my career, and 5 years down the road, been like, oh,
I'm still single. How about
that? Yeah, I'm not dependent. I'm a very independent person. I'm not dependent. I don't feel like my value is going to be based off of someone I marry or that. But, you know, I do think that companionship is important. And so I'm much more focused, healthily focused. I think in past times I've been obsessive.
Sure.
That can come from culture, that can come from environment, but I feel much more focused now and feeling great.
Cool.
So
no announcement, but we'll take it.
No announcement. I'm dating. I'm openly dating people.
I tried to get the goods, everybody.
Line up, ladies.
We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body, that if you weren't healthy enough to listen to it this week, that you'll be healthy enough to listen to it next week, and that when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you on the back row of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the back row.